Welcome back to these recorded messages. Just to remind people who were here last week, what we're trying to do is the people at the church in the Uxbridge Road Tabernacle in Shepherd's Bush, London, in England, were very concerned that the young people weren't able to come into the church because of the seriousness of the virus in London. And we didn't want the people, young people, put in any harm by getting them back into the church if the virus was so strong. So we decided to put on these messages, Bible messages and things which hopefully you will find interesting. And it's during this week, over 140 people have listened to the first message, and that's very encouraging. But if you didn't listen to the first message, you may want to go back and listen to it, because it's got an interesting story about one of the judges of the people of Israel, the man called Gideon, how God used him and blessed him. And you might want to go back and listen to the first part of the story, because we're going to carry on with that story today. Now, we also introduced last week some what we call serious questions. Serious questions. And we're going to think about the same serious question as we did last week. Now, that serious question was, how do we know that God exists? That's a very, very important and serious question. How do we know that God exists? There are many answers to this, but one answer is, the Bible tells us. The Bible is God's word, and it tells us on many occasions what God did, what he said, how he wanted his people to live, and many examples that tell us how we can know that God exists. But some people don't believe the Bible. Some people don't believe the Bible. And we can understand that God exists through some of the teaching in the Bible. Now, I pressed my button a bit too early, and you saw the second picture a bit early. It doesn't really matter. But that picture is an artist's interpretation of what a flat earth might look like, the flat earth. Now, for many, many, many years, people thought that the earth was flat. Now, we have been able, through many wonderful ways, to find out that the earth is a globe, circular. Now, the Bible helps us to understand this, because the Bible tells us that many years before, the Greek philosophers wrote that the earth was round, God talked about it being round. The first written record which we have of humans saying that the earth was round was written 500 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. You may remember, or you may know, that we date this earth from when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born at Bethlehem. So roughly that's 2,020 years ago. But prior to that, we talk about before Christ. And the Greek philosophers wrote about the earth being round 500 years before Christ came. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us in these two verses, in Isaiah and Job, that God spoke about, in his inspired word, the Bible, about the earth being circular. The first one says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, it is he, God, who sits above the circle of the earth. And in Job chapter 26, verse 10, it says he, God, drew a circular horizon on the face of the world. Now, I've missed out part of that word, but it doesn't really matter. The globe got in the way, it doesn't matter. Now then, the Greek philosophers wrote about this 500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. But the book of Isaiah was written 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. And the book of Job, which is one of the oldest books in the Bible, was written 2,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. So 1,500 years before the Greek philosophers wrote about the earth being round, God told people to write in his word, the Bible, that the earth was round. Now that tells us very clearly, I believe, that God exists because God knew about these things, because he created the earth many, many years before man figured it out. Now, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to our memory verse. So keep looking at the screen.
So, here we have last week's memory verse. I hope you've remembered it. Here in this one verse is the good news of the Bible. The Lord God loves us so much that in order to rescue us when we can't save ourselves, his Son came into the world to pay the terrible price that was required. This week's verse is also very important and very urgent. Here we are. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Can you say it again? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Now let's take some words away. Can you still say it? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Let's make it even harder. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Oh, here's a challenge. See if you can say it. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Here it is. It's urgent because you don't know when you'll have another opportunity to seek the Lord. So really think upon this, learn it, and it will help you.
Thank you very much indeed. Now we're just going to recap part of last week's story concerning Gideon. You may know the story, hopefully from last week, that the children of Israel were really oppressed and terrorized by the Midianites, along with some of their friends who joined in. And they came along to the people of Israel and they took their crops, they took their sheep and their oxen and all sorts of things, and they terrorized the people. And the people were really afraid of them. But the people prayed to God. The people asked that God would deliver them from the hand of the Midianites. So we're just going to pick up the last part of last week's story, just to remind you. We're reading from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 36. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so, when he rose early the next morning, and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all of the ground. Now we're going to pick up the story of Gideon from that point, and I'm going to share the screen with you so you can see some pictures of what happened next. So I've gone a bit too far, never mind. So Gideon is there looking out over the huge amount of Midianites who have come to besiege Israel and to take away their flocks and to take away their sheep. And Gideon has his army prepared to do battle with the Midianites. And his men there are there ready. But God says to Gideon, you have too many people in your army. God said, tell the people in the army, whoever is afraid, go home. God said that. Tell the people, whoever is afraid, go home. And we can see some of the people in that picture walking away because they're worried and they're scared. Now, 22,000 of the army went home. Now, if you're listening to this in another country, you may not understand what I'm talking about. But just imagine, for those who live in Shepherd's Bush, roughly when people used to go to the football at QPR, roughly that ground holds about 20,000 people, I think. You imagine, on the game day, all those people walking away from the stadium, that was roughly how many people went home because they were afraid of the battle. And that left Gideon with 10,000 people in his army. Now you've got to remember that the Midianites were a huge amount of people in their army, but God said to Gideon, the army is still too big. Still too big. At 10,000 people, the army is still too big. Now, we've got to question ourselves here. Why should God say this? What was the purpose of God saying to Gideon, get rid of some of the people? God wanted Gideon and the army to trust in him alone for the victory. God wanted them to completely put their trust in him for the victory. So the story moves on. Now God said, still too many people. So God said to Gideon, tell the people in the army to drink. Drink water from the stream. Now, God said, those people who cupped their hand and put it into the water and brought the water up to their mouths to drink, they will be the ones who would remain ready for the battle. We don't actually know why God chose these people. Maybe it was that they were the ones who were prepared for the battle. If you're leaning down into the water with your face in the water, you're not really prepared for the battle, are you? You're not making sure that no one creeps up behind you. So God said, from the 32,000, 22,000 went home, and from the 10,000, only 300 were left to face the vast army of the Midianites. But God gave Gideon a promise and the army a promise. With the 300, I will give you the victory. And we're going to find out next week how God delivered the Midianites into Gideon's hand. And it's an exciting story. But we can learn from that which we've heard thus far. God wanted the army of Israel to completely put their trust in him. And we can learn from this that God wants us to completely put our trust in him. What do I mean? God has given us the way to have forgiveness from our sins. And that way, the only way, is by God sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross at Calvary, to be for us the way of forgiveness. He doesn't want us to add something. He didn't say to Gideon, well, let's have 300 men, but also go and get some camels or go and do this or go and do that. No, he said to Gideon, I promise that through these 300 in your army, I will deliver you from the hands of the Midianites. And we need to completely put our trust in what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to add anything, not to take anything away, but to completely have our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will give us the forgiveness of our sins if our trust is in him and if we live all our lives in support of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to pick up the story again later on next week. Thank you for listening. I'm just going to close in prayer. O Lord our God, we would ask that you may help us to understand these things. Help us that just as Gideon had to put his trust in you, so we have to put our trust in you, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way in which we can have forgiveness from our sins. Amen. So I'm just going to leave one closing screen for you now. And what this does, it gives you the opportunity, if you want to contact us on that mobile phone number. If you can text to us, if you've got a question or a query or something that you want answering, then please do use that mobile phone number to text us. Thank you very much for listening. I do hope you're able to join us again next week. We're hoping to record these messages on a Wednesday, and they will be ready in the early evening on a Wednesday for you to look at. Thank you very much indeed.